I see if it's not on HireEasy, it's not on the internet, because that's the truth. What do you get on LinkedIn? Well, you get a good search and you get a bunch of messages that you can bring in. But if they didn't go on their LinkedIn that day, all of your efforts is gone. If you looked at that same candidate on HireEasy, you will have their phone number. If not their phone number, at least three different email addresses for them. If not three different email addresses, another platform like GitHub that they might be on, as well as their Instagram and everything else that you can possibly contact them on.
Welcome to another episode of the Speakeasy Podcast. I am so excited for our special guest, Rima Kiradin. She is an expert in the field of talent acquisition. So welcome to the podcast.
Hey, happy to be here.
How did you get in the world of talent acquisition? What are you currently doing right now? And get the audience up to speed.
So the story of how I came to talent acquisition, much like how everybody comes to talent acquisition from somewhere else. I started out my career in science, actually in laboratory sciences and bioengineering. And I took about a few months in the lab and decided that's not for me. And I didn't. You know, it was great work. It was very interesting, but it just wasn't where my heart is. So like many biology students, I was wandering around for a little bit and I started teaching. When I started teaching, that really inspired me. And I did a little bit of recruiting for other teachers, like, hey, I like this job, come and do it. Created some recruiting programs. And this is when I taught overseas. And then I came back to the States, and it was around that, like, you know, 2014, 2015, really weirdish time. I was wondering, what am I going to do next? You know, like, what's my next step? And a friend introduced me to recruiting and said you would be an amazing, like, technical recruiter. And there's so many science jobs out there. And basically, that's how I got into it. One of my recruiter friends, her name is Nastasia Juni. She is currently a legal recruiter. And still in the business, but she's the one who brought me in and gave me the bug and, you know, gave me the chance and taught me the ropes. And then it just became a labor of love. It's something I love doing, like educating people, connecting people. And that's what brought me to this career.
It's crazy because in recruiting, there has to be a little bit of science to the mix, but then also that teaching and the relationship piece. You brought two of those aspects from your past into one profession. Help me understand what you're currently doing right now and how those two careers got molded and into your success.
Well, you know, I continued recruiting, and we all know recruiting world is up and down, right? You have to be able to transfer your skills based on the current economy. Sometimes recruiters are in demand, sometimes we're not. So I capitalized on those teachings and took more classes, got certifications, went and got a master's degree in actual industrial organization. So that way I could back up a lot of the information and streamline it into one set of skills that can be transferred amongst a whole different sect of HR duties, right? The best way I like to explain of what I do is, you know, after moving up my ranks through HR, doing the recruiting and the sourcing and having trainer positions, and then finally finalizing all of that with an advanced degree, is it made me very flexible. And the best thing I like to say is that companies have two infrastructures. They have a financial infrastructure, right? They have their, also they have their, you know, information into infrastructure, IT infrastructure. They also have their human infrastructure, and that's very complex. And people don't understand there's multiple sectors within that human structure that they need for operation. And a lot of companies don't put the emphasis on how much they need to build that infrastructure for people to move through, right? To come in, to go out, to grow within a company. And that's what I like to tell people, like, financial people make the financial structure, IT people make the technology structure. And what I do is I make the human structure. I make the way that we're going to do the work.
So you started working the last couple of years at AWS and then transitioned into more of a consultant and working with some of the startups locally. Help me understand different lessons that you learned from either a large organization like an Amazon and how it's been different being a contractor and doing consulting.
So a lot of things that I learned, you know, working in AWS, as well as working for, like, I kind of worked my way up, started up in another 3D printing startup. When I was first starting out to build out my HR career, it was called Envision Tech. It was bought by Desktop Metal. And so that was like my first like taste of that startup life and selling and like going through the excitement of building a company and building that infrastructure and then handing it off. From that experience, I wanted more. AWS is like a huge startup, to be honest. Each one of your little pods are all different. So everything you do is very much lean. A lot of the ideas, you have to work with data, like what is the end result of this? So at Amazon, it was like in AWS, that was a whole different world that was like introduced to me, where I got so much experience to do that, to leverage data, right? Because they're a data machine. Everything, we can get information on anything. Okay, but what do you do with it? If you can get the information, how do you leverage that? And that's what I learned at AWS, how to leverage that data, working that startup smart, leveraging that data to make a really good hiring decisions, knowing exactly when we have to turn up the sourcing, when we have to turn it down, what are the market conditions, taking all that data and creating strategies that help us not only get the best of the best, but get those, you know, headcounts and seats quickly with the most amount of efficiency and the least amount of like just busy admin work. So what I do now is I'm currently working with a startup called Proper AI. They are a fast growing startup who have a lot of the same product problems, like not really problems, but blessings in disguises that other startups have, which is tons of growth, tons of interest, but we need the people and the infrastructure to go through to handle that. But we don't have enough money, right, to really spend on a big HR team. So investing in tools such as HireEasy and different LMS systems, working smarter, not harder, being able to gather all the data of the way that we're doing the work, the way our competitors are doing the work, right? With HireEasy two-way integration, watching the way that our competitors are doing the work, the pools that we're working from, it helps us work with a leaner staff. We may spend more of the money forward in a lot of the tools and a lot of getting those analytics. But as long as we are training our teams to use those analytics constantly and consistently to make data-driven decisions, we can work lean. We don't sacrifice quality. And then we, as recruiters and as talent acquisition, can spend the time that we know is the best amount of time. And that's with our candidates and creating the best candidate experience and really making sure they're prepared to highlight their skills through that interview process.
You talked a lot about utilizing data, utilizing this technology. And over the years, especially in the last couple of years, the recruiting landscape has undergone significant changes. How have you witnessed the evolution of the recruiting practices? And what do you think the biggest drivers behind those changes are?
You know what? I feel like I'm going to be like Bitcoin was a few years ago. And I'm going to say, AI, you know, it's kind of like that time, but it is. It's scary for recruiters. I know AI is a scary world for recruiters because there could be an idea that we can be replaced by AI. Don't think about it that way. Some of the work that we don't like doing, i.e. sourcing, right? We can give that to an AI, and an AI can help us with that. So we're spending less time like, does this search work? Does this search work? Is this string good? We're letting an AI do that busy work for us in a smaller amount of time, so we can get to finding those candidates, right? Doing the scalpel work, having our recruiter phone screens, helping our candidates rewrite their resumes before we send them off to the hiring manager. So we are doing our best by the candidate. So if we think about leveraging things such as AI, and when those come into your company, or if one of your managers or if a consultant comes in and says, let's get some of this AI, let's start using this. Don't be afraid of AI or automation. There will never take away the human aspect of recruiting. We are recruiters because we're people.
You talked about how technology has reshaped how we approach in recruiting, from AI applicant tracking systems to sourcing. What are you seeing the best return on investment in a specific area within the recruiting process, utilizing like an AI or utilizing some of the technology that is out there?
Sourcing and contact. Initial contacts. Getting the initial drive to get people to apply to your position. So utilizing and leveraging AIs, such as ChatGPT, to create templates for reach outs, right? Optimizing those templates, because you can go back and forth with the AI and say, oh, that's too wordy. I'd rather have it like this, or I'd rather have it speak like this. You can customize that. And instead of you going through all of your rewrites of your templates, you're doing that within minutes and creating yourself a whole database of different templates that can really help you get that targeted contact, right? And then you can automate it through things like HireEasy. You can automate sourcing through things like HireEasy and utilizing the AI within the capabilities within HireEasy to predict the type of candidates that you'll be looking for. Pretty much, you know, you have your pools, you have your campaigns. If you get your searches going, HireEasy will do that work for you. You'll wake up in the morning, you'll have a bunch of different candidates to review in the morning. See if you want to reach out to them. It's working while you sleep. So then you can get up and do what we need to do, what they can't do, which is find the best candidates, make sure we work with them to highlight their skills correctly and present them to the best opportunities.
When you're selecting different platforms, specific technology, specific sourcing tools for you and your team, how do you determine which ones you want your team to utilize?
Honestly, I think of the end user. As a recruiter, I need something that works well with my workflow, something that's customizable. Not all recruiters work the same way. That's the glory of it, right? All our brains are different. Some of us are more visual. Some of us are more audio. And as recruiters, it don't matter. At the end of the day, if we get the placements within an efficient time or within our set goal times, we're fine. That's the wonder. That's why some of us work well as recruiters, is because it is so autonomous. That's the main thing, is that usability. Does it make sense for my end user? Is it going to help them, flow through their workflow? Are there automations for their workflows? So I like to see things that are very intuitive and automated.
You talked about like automating and utilizing technology in an outreach message. I was always trained that, you know, timing is everything, but also utilizing the campaign or a sequence of that messaging, the increase of response rates goes higher the more messages you send to an individual. Walk me through how your team has seen success utilizing that type of model. Where have you learned that? Who taught you that? And help me understand some of the lessons that you learned maybe from, you know, the big organization like an Amazon, and you're incorporating it now in your consultant business and the startups that you're growing.
So the thing that we do is we really leverage campaigns and my teams. Just like, let's go back 15 years in recruiting, right? The smile and dial and having to, you got to contact 100, you got to contact 150 a day. And we'd sit there and we'd be pounding them out on the phones, right? That adrenaline. Well, I liked it, but it used to take all day. Most of my days were sourcing. And I think that that's where a lot of our energies are, right? Sourcing, contacting, recontacting, having lists for recontact. Well, when you automate all that in a system like HireEasy, you don't need to do that. You make the initial find, the initial contact. And then like, what is that like old school 90s rotisserie thing, set it and forget it kind of a thing? You don't want to forget it. You want to come back, and HireEasy won't let you forget it because it'll keep pinging you that your candidates have called back. But that's kind of the way to utilize those contacts. Why? Well, working in a big organization like AWS, I was not siloed to only working on one role. I would take on 32 roles at a time. I had a goal that I had to fill all those roles by the end of the month, because that organization is growing so fast. How do I meet those demands? Well, I had to leverage things like that. I had to. That is that startup mentality. Yes, it's a big company, but it's still a startup mentality. And that's where I think I got most of my real startup experience was there, is having to do a lot more with less, having to really, really, really be efficient with my time and my contacting. So that's where, like, I got into HireEasy. And I'm like, wow, this is, like, amazing. It can do all of this contacting and follow up while I work with my candidates that are pinging me back. So as these candidates are pinging me back with interest, I'm still sourcing, I'm still contacting, but I'm also conducting my recruiter phone screens, making sure I'm getting all the skills, rewriting resumes, making sure that every person that I bring to the hiring manager has at least an 80 to 90% chance of getting that interview. So it's doing all that work up front to make sure that when I make that presentation, I am presenting a full candidate. And by automating that work, and that's how I run my teams. And that's that idea that I bring to the startups, is that if we automate that sourcing, if we automate the initial reach out, if we automate as much of the communication using AI, because it's smart, it doesn't feel like it's a machine anymore. And it isn't. It's you just broadcasting. AI is broadcasting your ideas for you. So don't think like it's a machine contacting them. It is you contacting them. The machine is just broadcasting and giving you a bigger reach. From the beginning of recruiting, the bigger reach you have, the more net, the more that you can draw your net and bring in that pool of the amazing candidates for your clients, for your company. And then it's also not just about bringing them for the company. It's connecting people to opportunities that they might have never thought that they were even qualified for. You're telling them that they're qualified. How wonderful is that when you get a candidate, never thought they would be qualified for the position, but you're telling them, hey, I'm going to help you highlight yourself to show you how you are qualified for this.
Be more that consultative approach to not only you, the leaders that you're supporting, but also the candidates that you're chatting with every single day. How have you utilized data platforms from the start of getting a new open rec with a hiring leader? How have you taught or yourself utilizing data to really drive those intake conversations, really drive the candidate experience and presenting candidates to a hiring manager while you lead with data to make sure that it's an effective alignment? You're not an order taker, but you're more of a consultant to that business.
So by leading with data, you're coming in ahead of time. I like the customer or like the client or the hiring manager, whoever I'm working with. It can be different things as a consultant or with my team. When I'm going in with my team to meet with one of the hiring managers at any of the startups that I consult with, it's the first thing we go in there is we go in there with information. I always train the recruiters. Sometimes they're not used to it. So you have to kind of build it in by having your one-on-ones that way, right? So you lead by example where you're coming into your meetings with data and then you start asking them. It's not right away, but you lead at first. You start coming in with data, with charts, with accountability on their activity, movements through their pipeline. So leading all your conversations with these data and these charts, using HireEasy, using your ATS, using your CRMs, and those charts to lead your conversations with your team. And then trickle it down, especially when there isn't a culture there, because sometimes you come into a startup and there isn't that culture, right? There's a culture of task takers and it's really hard to turn it. And that's something that I have frequently interacted with. And that's the thing, is lead by example, start by leading as a leader with data and then teach them how to do it. Teach them to walk in and say, hey, we applied, we had this position last year. This is kind of the way it moved through the pipeline. This is what the R&Rs were on. This is kind of what the overview of the candidate was. What has changed, you know, or getting ahead of time, if you can. Sometimes I know it's hard, especially in a startup when they don't have that culture, but trying to get the, you know, first like draft of the roles and responsibility that that hiring manager is ahead of time with the job description. Sometimes at a startup, there isn't already a job description, but kind of like being on top of that hiring manager and holding them accountable as a colleague right? To show them I'm not a task taker. I need a few things from you for business requirements before our meeting so we can move forward. Getting those business requirements, conducting searches on HireEasy and creating a project, inviting the hiring manager ahead of time to that HireEasy project and tell them, this is how it looks, kind of walk them through at the meeting, but give it to them ahead of time to kind of like look through, then coach them on how to use the project. And that way you can have collaboration. You're leading as you are the expert in this. You're showing what there is out there and you are setting the expectation. Using HireEasy 2A integration and bringing some of that information, whatever it might be, of how many applicants do we have out, how many jobs are out there and amongst their competitors as well, to see, could that be something? Looking at salary data to make sure the salaries align ahead of time, and then making sure that even at our next meeting, we're also bringing the data that we're receiving from our recruiter phone screen. So not only salary data that we're getting through various platforms, but bringing back the anecdotal data of, this is how much, you know, especially with salary bands, right? That's always such a hard thing to deal with. It's sometimes the biggest hangup that a recruiter has is not that there isn't people, but the price, the ranges are just so off. And sometimes we have to be the experts to bring that to the table and say, hey, our salary band is off. And that's HireEasy 2A has that information for us, right? We can go in there, bring that information. And that's how you lead with the data. And that's how you lead the process. And also you gain trust from the hiring manager that you are the expert.
For sure. Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is everybody wants to see it at the table and making those decisions. And if you're not bringing that specific data, the best scenarios that I ever had was I talked business to my hiring leaders with business terms, and that's numbers typically. And they understand that because they're on the business side. They're not on the HR. They're not on the recruiting side. So if we can utilize that framework and that narrative and put that into place, utilizing the data at hand, maybe the salary is off. Is it the candidates that we want to target? Is it too high level for what we can pay? Or are we willing to boost that pay higher? I was talking to a good friend of mine and he preaches the three P's. So the first one is profile. The second one is price. And you, if you don't have the price right, it determines the profile, right? And then the third one is process. Do you have a process in place to get the first two? So making sure that, okay, what is the salary budget for this? Then there's a, you know, I can't go to a car dealership with a salary for, you know, maybe a Honda Accord and expect me driving away with the Lamborghini. That's not going to work out. So what is the process that we have in place to get the right people for the right price that we have? And those three need to be aligned. That's really cool to utilizing that data that you're utilizing within HireEasy to build up the relationships with those leaders that you're supporting. Where are individuals typically getting the best response rates? Is it like a LinkedIn? Is it personal email? Is it texting? Is it calling? There's so many avenues the way people source these days, but how people react to their messages are different. How are you seeing success and what avenues are you targeting for your team to be successful?
Honestly, my recruiters have been giving me feedback. It depends. We do international recruiting, so it's very cultural. Know what the laws are around the areas that you're recruiting when it comes to contact. Because in America, use the phone. Use the phone, text, phone, call. Why? Quickest way to get a hold of somebody. It is the absolute quickest way. My phone is constantly in my hand. If somebody tells me I didn't see your message, you're a liar. All of us have our phones in our hands all the time. We anthropologically changed our bodies where we have nubs now on our fingers because we hold our phones so much. We are changing the way we are. So phone, any communication that can be done through a phone, it's not only a phone call, it's a text message, an email, a LinkedIn. Everybody is on their phone. Now, they may not have their LinkedIn on all the time, depending on the positions that you are recruiting for. So contact is very much too strategic, depending on the types of recruiting that you're looking for. Am I going to call a data engineer? Absolutely not, because he will never talk to me again. He does not want to be called. He doesn't want to be called until I have scheduled an interview with him. He doesn't even want to talk to me. Let's all be really, really honest. They don't even want to talk to the recruiters. So the best way to get a hold of people in like those scientific areas, I felt, was LinkedIn and then emails. Sometimes I would text them like, hey, the next day after I sent them an email of, hey, I sent you an email. Can you take a look at that and introduce myself via text? That's okay. The idea is we want them to just look at it and get their feedback. Yes, no. Feedback to me is always a yes, even when they say no, because they took the time to read it and they got back to me. Even if it might not be for them, no. Okay, wonderful. Can you recommend somebody?
I think the multiple channel approach in this day in recruiting is the best approach because, like you said, LinkedIn might have a faucet on and faucet off approach that they have their notifications off and they're never going to see your in-mail. Well, with email and texting and calling and other avenues out there, whether it's other social media platforms like a GitHub or a Facebook or whatever it may be, having multiple channel approach and scheduling it out in a cadence gets the best return on investment, which is pretty cool. And then measuring that specific percentages of where people are responding to. So then you have that data for the next opportunity. Maybe it's a similar role, maybe a similar skill set. Then you can replicate that specific approach to that specific demographic. So that's very cool. A big topic always has been with diversity recruiting. How have you utilized different platforms, different technology to increase, you know, the diversity recruiting numbers within the organizations you've worked for or personally, some strategies there?
Yeah. So first of all, attracting diversity starts with the culture. Be the culture which you are representing. So at AWS, at many places, we all know there's a lot of great inclusive cultures. You yourself being an ambassador of inclusive culture is the first step. So all the searches in the world can bring you all the candidates, but will they stay if the culture is not inclusive? No. So being representative of that as a recruiter, as a TA person, as you are an ambassador of inclusivity, you are an ambassador of equity as well. So your processes, you are the front line. It starts with you. So making sure those are in every one of your processes, you are checking your biases. You are sticking to the basic requirements and the basic skills needed for the position. And you are making sure that everybody has the access that they need to highlight their skills. That is part of being diverse and equitable. Making sure that you ensure that, right? Whether it be somebody doesn't have a computer to update their resume, right? Maybe a new college student, whatever it may be. Getting them access to that, finding them libraries that they might go to. Those are all parts of diversity and equity. We can do all the searches in the world, but if we are not portraying it, it's not going to work. Now with the searches, to make sure that my searches, because we all know about algorithms and they're not the fairest, right? A lot of things I like to do is use AI, again, to leverage AI to create Boolean search strings with like organizations that women of color or people of color may belong to. So fraternities, sororities, school organizations, making sure that you add those in as and then creating a whole big search string of like maybe universities that are diverse or historically Black colleges, right? Sourcing directly from people who have graduated from historically Black colleges. Using those within your sourcing string and plugging it in will make sure that you are having that diverse background, right? Because we know people from diverse backgrounds will belong to these organizations or this one. Put them in your search strings because that's going to beat that algorithm.
You adapted from large organizations, smaller organizations, different industries. and it's constantly evolving. How do you stay updated on the latest trends and adapt your strategies that align with your current business that you're supporting?
Honestly, stay plugged in. Stay plugged in. Stay curious. Do those out-of-the-box ideas, you know? Fail fast. Fail often. But don't make the same failure twice. That's kind of the way I stay on top, is being innovative, thinking out of the box, thinking of ways to do more with less, working smarter, making sure to stay on the trend of any technologies. Hey, get with your product development team, whether you work for a big company or small, there's somebody in product development. Even at AWS, I worked with people in product development directly to create automations, to create triggers, things of those nature that help us work better. They want your input. So make sure, no matter who you are, get in touch with your IT team, with your product development team, with your organizational development team, and give them the feedback of how you're working so that they can create automations for you.
It is a wild market currently right now. There's a lot of changes within this industry. What would you tell those individuals that maybe are just starting their career in the recruiting field?
Stay curious. Stay curious. Absorb. Look at everything that's going on. Stay on top of the trends. Look at the best person that you work with. And literally, don't reinvent the wheel. If they're doing something successful, then most likely you will. Just do their same thing. The most successful people in recruiting are those who are consistent and organized. If you're consistent and organized, you will succeed.
Because things are fast flowing and changing rapidly, what would you tell an experienced recruiter in the field right now?
Share your ideas with the leaders. We know what is happening on the ground, and you can make a spot for yourself to grow your career away from the day-to-day of recruiting by just diversifying your skills, by speaking up. You guys are the experts. You don't need degrees. You don't need certifications. If you have been in this field for a long time, you have hustled your way and you have seen everything. If you are a skilled recruiter, there is nothing nobody can throw at you now. You have been on the ground. If you can take advantage of those certifications, because we all know we're recruiters, right? We see people, hire people every day. They're always looking for the certifications. They're always looking for the degrees, right? When we know sometimes skill is better than that. Do the certifications if you can. Get them on there. Explore your professional development. Get your AWS cloud certification. Get your PRH certification. Get them all, go back to school, become an organizational specialist, because then that opens the door to all different types of work that you know you can do.
If you could travel back in time and give one piece of advice to your younger self when you were starting your career, what do you think that'd be?
Talk to more candidates.
Why would you say that?
When I first started, I used to get that feeling like, am I a marketer? Am I a salesperson? Or am I a recruiter? You know, I have that attitude that we kind of sometimes can get, right? Especially when we're technical recruiters, we kind of think of ourselves on a different plateau. But no, talk to candidates, because the more candidates to talk to, the more calibrated you become with the position, and you start to understand what's really out there and can educate the manager. So, talk and talk to more candidates. In the beginning, right after that calibration, talk to a ton of candidates just so you can get an idea. And just put your, you know, head down and have your head down time. Organize yourself and plan your days. If you fail to plan, plan to fail.
In this dynamic recruiting landscape, what do you think the top three qualities and characteristics of a high-level, top-performing recruiter in 2024?
I will say the top characteristics of someone who leverages data to make their decisions. Someone who is asking how many positions are there, who's constantly looking at their analytics to make sure that they're having enough activity. So a data-driven recruiter is number one.
Does anybody come to mind that really comes to mind that has that characteristic because they're always data-driven decision-making recruiting?
Yeah, Stephanie Asborn. Stephanie Asborn was one of my partners at AWS, a fantastic recruiter and partner. She was very data-driven, just like me. We used to nerd out on all the data projects. So Stephanie Asborn.
When you're building a team and you're interviewing recruiters, one of the main questions that I always ask was, if you got your LinkedIn recruiter seat stripped away tomorrow for a month, could this person recruit? I'll ask you that same question. I take away your LinkedIn recruiter seat. What avenues, what areas, what other tools or resources do you utilize and you teach your team to think outside the box without only going into one specific platform?
Yeah. So if we're going way back down to basics where I have no money for anything, I'm doing X-ray searches. We're going all the way back. Like we're going back to the back in the day where we used to cheat Google in order to look at LinkedIn and find our candidates without all those blockers. I mean, is it a workaround? Yes. Is it efficient? Not that great, but does it work? Uh-huh. It does work. So I think every recruiter needs to have X-ray search skills built in, because if all this is taken away, you can still do your work. And that makes you vital, especially to smaller companies who may not be able to afford some of these big systems. So don't ever give up on X-ray search. This new generation of recruiters, keep learning to X-ray search. And if you don't know, ping me on LinkedIn. I will definitely walk you through it. And then the other thing is HireEasy. I mean, honestly, I definitely use HireEasy is my favorite platform, because if it's not on HireEasy, it's not on the internet. Why would I go through LinkedIn Recruiter if I had HireEasy?
Can you elaborate on that quote? I love that quote. You shared with me before that you use that quote within your teams. Walk me through what you mean by that quote.
So I like to get the most effect with a minimal effort at the core. I hate wasting time, and time is the killer of all deals. I say if it's not on HireEasy, it's not on the internet, because that's the truth. What do you get on LinkedIn? Well, you get a good search and you get a bunch of messages that you can bring in. But if they didn't go on their LinkedIn that day, all of your efforts is gone. If you looked at that same candidate on HireEasy, you will have their phone number. If not their phone number, at least three different email addresses for them. If not three different email addresses, another platform like GitHub that they might be on, as well as their Instagram and everything else that you can possibly contact them on. So using one powerful tool like that, centralizing it, and not only that, is you can track on HireEasy, like, what are your efforts doing? You can't do that on LinkedIn. I mean, you have some LinkedIn analytics, but how powerful are they? Is it really telling you what your efforts are doing?
Who comes to mind that's really shaped your career?
Honestly, my real good, like, really, really recruiting training came from a woman named Jelena Oon. This is at my time at Robert Half. Jelena is one of those, like, you know, old school, no excuses, like, get it done, just get it done, but with the most amount of love and support possible. Like, she will help you with everything, walk you through everything. She will even show you how to get it done. And I think what was inspiring with her is that she had a level of servant leadership where she was there to serve us. She taught me so much. She pushed me to the limits of that, where I didn't think I could go. I'm too busy. I can't do that. I can't organize myself. Here, it's easy. It's like this. You know, she was so hands-on as a manager and really shaped my idea of what I could do, what I could accomplish, and what could be done. And definitely great, great leader.
In the world of 2024, there's so many social media avenues and people to follow, people not to follow. And sometimes it gets overwhelming because there's so much information out in the world. But is there a handful of individuals that you follow to get the latest trends or latest, job posts or whatever it may be that really drives your decision-making and influence within the recruiting space?
There are so many. There are so many great content creators on LinkedIn. First person when it comes to culture and kind of like Josh Langley is a really, 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 really great content creator. Josh Brentz. I guess we're going for Josh's now. Josh Brentz. I worked with Josh Brentz at AWS. His content is really inspiring, really talks about taking care of yourself as holistically as a recruiter. And it kind of like talks about leaders really tapping into the recruiter mind that we've been off of everyday practices. Stay humble. Keep yourself on LinkedIn with layoff notices. You know, look, those type of things are like one of those things that like I follow, right? To see what the trends are looking like, to see what people say afterwards. I know that it sounds like a little bit morbid, but like that type of content helps. It helps drive, right? Like understanding what's going on. Because when people are leaving a company, they talk about the wonderful thing that they experienced at that company. So understanding what to do based on those, like everybody's happy when they're working somewhere, but when they leave, and then taking some of those practices and then putting them within your group. So making sure that, you know, sometimes those parts are bittersweet.
I'm all about like educating yourself. As we wrap up, any last minute things that you really want to share with the audience?
Honestly, being in TA, being a recruiter, can sometimes feel like a thankless job. A lot of the work that's done before, you know, the great candidate is presented or the candidate gets the job is not looked at. And I kind of take it as being a parent. When you're giving, when it's fun, when everything is flowing, everybody is happy. But no one sees all of that work. But I just want other recruiters to know that I see you. We see you. You have a community of TA specialists around you. We understand what you're going through. I've been laid off. We've all been through this. Reach out to us on LinkedIn. We are a community. We are here together. So don't be afraid to reach out. Don't be afraid to connect. Don't be afraid to do something for yourself. Go off. Be a consultant. Just invest in your own skills.
Feel free to follow Rima on social media. Get connected with her. And really dive in deep to our HireEasy community page, our Outbound Recruiting Academy. Well, as we wrap up today's conversation, I just want to say thank you so much for being a light at the end of the tunnel for some people. You've spoken about data-driven decisions. You really spoke about networking within the recruiting community. And you're making an impact that's really going to go on for years and years to come.